The sun's a-shining in Oxford, Mississippi. Cookouts in the Grove. Beer showers. It's just the very best time for an Ole Miss Rebel to get out and get going. Carry Front Door peace of mind with you everywhere you go with Eufy Video Lock. Never has home security been so easy. Eufy Video Lock, an all-in-one security device for your front door, allows you to keep an eye on everything back home. And it's so easy. Installation requires only a screwdriver. So ditch those house keys forever and give Eufy Video Lock a try today. There's no monthly fee, and Eufy Video Lock has customer support on standby 24/7 to help you with any and all home security needs. Go ahead, have your Ole Miss fun in the sun with the assurance your home is in good hands with Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock's built-in camera can tell you who's at your front door from the comfort of your poolside chair. So search Eufy Video Lock today. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock, a proud sponsor of this, the Talk of Champions Podcast Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Welcome into this not-so-special edition of the Oxford Exxon podcast. Chase Parm. Somewhere in Missouri right now, about 50 miles outside of Springfield, I am in the car with Ben Garrett.
They don't care.
Of On Three, host of Talk of Champions.
No. Say the words. Say the Ole Miss Spirit.
The Ole Miss Spirit. My former employer. We are in the car together, so we decided we have a computer, we have a microphone.
We'll talk a little bit. You decided, sir.
Ben is driving. We will have to probably have some direction issues in about 40 miles, but we've got a minute where one day from, or actually since, Ole Miss winning the national championship, beating Oklahoma 4-2 on Sunday.
And Chase acts like he doesn't really love and think is awesome.
The Rebels go 10-1 in the NCAA tournament. I think they end up outscoring opponents, was it like 85-55 or something like that?
Look, you're Encyclopedia Brown with all the baseball stuff. I'm not. I don't know. You're probably, yeah, sure. Our experiences in Omaha were totally different. Right? I didn't mind to say, look, I turned into a little bit of a fangirl. It was awesome. When is the last time Ole Miss won a national title?
Women's golf won last season.
No, not that one. I know, that's great. And I'm not, yeah, it's great.
1963.
Okay. And you're from Amory. You went to Ole Miss. You were the DM sports editor. Even now, like little old ladies around Oxford go, oh, it's Chase. Because you're Ole Miss Chase. And you tell me, sir. On the field, we're standing there. You tell them. We're on the field. And they're like, Josh McCoy goes, Ben, you want to take a picture of the trophy? Yes. Yes. Will I ever get to take a picture with the Ole Miss National Championship trophy ever again? Ever. I say yes immediately. Turn to my friend Chase, my dear friend Chase, and say, Chase, get in here with me. What do you say?
I declined that invitation.
No. What did you say?
I said that was a bridge too far.
And then, not 10 seconds later, from that public shaming of your friend Ben, what did you say to Ole Miss SID Kyle Campbell?
I said probably next week.
That's what I'm saying. So what are we doing? Yes, they had whatever with the hits and the RBIs. Yeah, sure.
Everybody's aware of that by now, aren't they?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, why did you change your voice, too?
So I enunciate because I have a ridiculous... Like, no, I have you a much worse...
Pitch. You change your pitch.
Oh, do I change my pitch?
Yeah, you go from like... This is the Oxford Exxon podcast. Okay. You do that.
We did have different experiences. We're just talking. I have no idea. We just, if you want to listen, great. If you don't, that's fine too.
They tuned out right when they heard Ben Garrett.
We've been fighting over cup holders.
Yeah. Tell them what happened.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I had, because we made a stop right after we got started,
yes.
And I went in. I was looking for anything of sustenance.
Okay, you're making it too late. Just tell how it happened.
So I bought a Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
And I had a Yoo-Hoo since I was like 8 years old. And I saw it and I'm a little stir crazy. I'm adrenalized. I've had a lack of sleep. So
why were you adrenalized?
Yesterday was a pretty crazy day all the way around.
Why?
No, but look.
No. Why?
Because I almost won a national championship of baseball. So
that's what I'm saying.
I had my Yoo-Hoo. And
you're such a corporate brand guy.
When I finished with it, I threw it away. I started accidentally drinking Ben's water instead because I had commandeered the other cup holder as well. So.
Correct. Basically, what are street rules? What are like highway rules?
You each get one cup holder.
I'm in the driver's seat. You're in the passenger seat. There's two right here in the between us. You claimed that one with your Yoo-Hoo.
I did.
And I am parched. I am driving 12 hours today. No, we're making good time.
Yeah.
We're going to be home early.
You are. Ben gets get you home.
If you don't want to get home, don't ride with me. We've talked about this. All right. So I've got my cup holder set up, right? And you being Chase, who dictates everything. Hey, what happened in the press conference with Mike Bianco? Like, before the title, or no, it was after the title. When they won. What happened?
Which one?
Mike, after the press conference, you go to extend your hand to Mike Bianco, to shake his hand. Just to say congratulations, five. We've been through a lot. Because you call him five.
I do call him five. People get annoyed by that. They do not like me calling him five.
I get it. It's ridiculous. A grown man called by a number like from Little League meet. You know, I wore 69 once as a joke.
Okay.
Anyway, so he extends his hand to Chase. And Mike Bianco doesn't just shake his hand like proper journalistic. No, he pulls Chase in because it's Chase. And he says, I love you, brother.
He did not say
I
that.
I love you.
He didn't say anything.
You and me, Goose.
I think he said thank you.
You and me, Goose.
Okay.
I don't even know where we were.
Yeah, you're rambling. Point being, you got here, what, Monday?
Tuesday?
Yeah.
You got here Tuesday. I was a bad luck
guy. Oh, well, that's true. So Ole Miss was 2-0. Were you waiting on 2-0? What in your head, because you wanted to come the whole time, especially if they were going to get here to see this experience, what was it that clicked and said, okay, I am making the trip?
Well, it was the first time that I got to pull the full chuck, right? I usually was the guy who had to go cover the stuff and be there, and it was not fun. I just got to parachute in when I wanted to. But, of course, we were at the beach because you plan a beach trip at this time if you're at Ole Miss, right?
Sure.
If you cover Ole Miss, you love Ole Miss, you plan a beach, they're not going to Omaha. I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just true.
Yeah.
Right? So we planned a beach trip, and of course.
I'm sorry, there's an 18-wheeler next to us. Nothing we can do. Go ahead.
You told him we were on the road.
Yeah.
It's part of the ambiance.
Okay, go ahead.
So, we were at the beach, and I covered Ole Miss on a toilet, doing podcasts on a toilet, and I got stir crazy because it was friggin' awesome. The way they ran through Coral Gables, like I think what the turning point of the whole postseason was that 2-1 win over Miami.
Sure.
Because that's the first time we're like, oh, are they being serious, really?
If you lose that's a 2-1 get one game, they're not winning because they would not have come back through that loser's bracket.
Right, right. So when that happened, you're like, oh, God, it's getting serious, right? So they go to Hattiesburg, and I'm thinking, like, they've already exercised so many demons with this stuff. Then they go to Hattiesburg against a team that's just the worst. I mean, the most affectionate way possible. They're the worst outside of state fans. No, Arkansas. Tennessee fans. Didn't we decide that earlier?
Yeah.
Tennessee fans are the worst.
Yeah.
But our buddy Matt Lowry actually told me a horror story that I need to tell you about.
Not now.
They're fans. Okay.
Okay.
So, they go there and they run through that. I mean, dominated them. So, I'm itching. I don't like the beach anyway. Emily drags me. My wife, my wonderful, beautiful wife, we celebrated 12 years of marital bliss on Sunday as Ole Miss is winning the national title. And you tell me not to be emotional?
Yeah, it was very romantic.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
See, you love rom-coms.
Yeah, I do. Go ahead.
Don't, like, love is
alive. Ben had his own fever pitch on Sunday.
Love is alive, man. Anyway.
So that's why you came.
That's why I came. Because I was itching to come. And that didn't come out right.
Go. Okay. Just keep going.
So I was really wanting to, show up. And Emily finally was like, just go. And yeah, I came on in. I couldn't help it. And if anyone was on your board, because I know, look, I like your board, I guess. I haven't read it in a while. They probably really hate me. Does Jagrab still really hate me?
I don't know. I don't think they think about you at all.
Oh, Jagrab does.
Okay.
I've got many a screenshot from Jagrab. Anyway, they relate to that, you know? Like, because you can say that you weren't excited. The reason you got down early is not because of your obligations. You got down there early because little Chase from Amory would not have forgiven big Chase, regardless of your journalistic integrity, if you did not show up and were involved with everything. And you went to everything. And when those little old ladies came up to you on the street and went, Chase, you're my favorite. He loves it. And you should. That's gratifying. It's great. It's also hilarious. Your demographic is sweet old ladies. I have no idea what we're talking about.
It's fine. We're just talking.
I feel terrible.
Gonna get back to tomorrow.
Oh.
And
what's tomorrow?
Well, I meant like, sorry, yesterday. I'm all off from what I'm thinking. My alarm didn't go off this morning, and I think it screwed up my entire day. I slept an hour later than I typically do, and I think it's thrown everything off.
When do you
off.
Typically wake up, Chase?
Between 5 and 5:30 in the morning.
If you went to bed at 2 in the morning, when would you wake up, Chase?
At 5 or 5:30 in the morning.
What is the latest you've slept? You said, you know what, I'm going to go wild. I'm going to sleep as late as my family's gone. There's nothing to do but fall asleep and sleep till I wake up. When are you waking up, Chase?
This morning, which was about 6:25.
I mean, that's so sad. That's so sad.
You had convinced yourself in some ways, because I know it was a bit, but...
What?
Being a bad luck guy.
Not really. I
know it was a bit, but there was at least part of you that thought, I'm not going to be able to live this down if they fall apart once I show up, right?
Right. And it happened, and I believed it, and it was exacerbated, the problem exacerbated, by a very good friend of mine named Chase Parham. Who encouraged the belief, and I guess it's because you're competing with me. We're not friends. We can't, like, right, we're trying to get subs from each other. That's stupid. But that's the only rationale I can come up with for you to encourage this, knowing your friend Ben is going to be buried under the jail, which I would have gladly accepted. But still, you have to be there. You have to be there. And I know I got there too early. But if you could have gotten there too early, maybe you would have gone too, whoever's listening to this and saying, oh, you should have gone. Yes, you would have. You would have gone too if you could have. You couldn't because it's a friggin' Wednesday. Well, with what we do, we can just, or Tuesday, we can just drop everything and go to Omaha. That's what we're supposed to do. So, yes, I wouldn't have forgiven myself, but so many other people wouldn't forgive themselves. They say, oh, I'm the good luck person, and I left, and they just left. If you go a bunch of different ways. So I want you to now say it for the public to hear. Because you haven't done it publicly on Twitter yet.
Your chains are broken. You're fully...
No. Because what did you do when they hit the home runs, the back-to-back-to-back home runs? When I was just saying, like, little hint of, oh, the curse, see, guys, I'm not that guy.
It wasn't a little hint. What you said was, I bring the title taters.
Right. That cement, you're arguing, you are arguing.
Title taters, T-I-T-L-E.
Yeah, it sounds even stupider now that you say it. Because it was already really terrible. All right. You're arguing semantically. It's like whenever
We had freed Ben of the jinx is what happened from being the bad luck guy. And then when he said title taters, I said, okay, you now have said that you're bringing the national title to Ole Miss. So if they lose, you're back being the Blitz. It's back on you again. But it didn't happen. Your chains are free. You've been absolved. It's
you,
all over.
You had another choice, though. You had another choice there. Just don't do anything.
Come on. What's funny about it, too, is we'll have mutual friends who'll text me and go, oh, God, he's going to get so in his head. Please stop. You're going to get in his head when you do that. And I'm like, well, that's why.
I'd be mad at you if you didn't. That's way funnier. Oh, that's great. Of course, did I get my – yes, I am the bad luck guy. If you hadn't said that, if you'd been like, no, man, I love and respect you like our friend Jeff back behind us. I mean, that's sweet and sentiment, but it's not you because you're like one of the – like you're the biggest – jerk that everybody loves outside of Jeff. No, Jeff's the most respectful asshole. You're the one that everybody loves for some strange reason.
So what was the best part yesterday?
Best part?
Yep.
Man, I've talked a lot of, and it was never personal because it's not personal. You know, you got to remove stuff when you talk about Mike being, I know they're human beings, but mostly we're for entertainment value, right?
Sure.
So you can't like deny reality here. They were moving on, right?
Yes.
Vanderbilt was over. It was over for Mike Bianco.
If NC State gets in ahead of Ole Miss, Mike Bianco doesn't just not win a national title. He's not the coach today.
Correct. So that's why it's a hell of a sight to see. After he's embraced his wife, who he's been with, and you know they've gone through the ups and downs. She's ridden that roller coaster with him. He's got all his kids. I mean, he's got Drew there, decked out in Ole Miss gear, right? They're all there and celebrating this beautiful moment and the most surreal moment to me because that was awesome. But I'm being a little cynical, and I don't mean to be because this is a great day. Even for you who wanted to just say it's really cool.
No, it's a good day. Go ahead.
You love that they
won. Oh, I'm absolutely love that they won. That's good. Go ahead.
It was a surreal thing to see, and I don't know how I feel about it. Maybe it isn't negative. For him and Keith to be, like, embracing so hard, like, they were loving each other, which I get, but, like, they went through some stuff for a year now. Like the stuff in Birmingham with LSU, he had every right, did Keith. Like, no, everyone would have forgiven him. Even forgiven Mike, too, if they said, you know what, It's been a great run. We are agreeing to mutually part ways, but we're going to co-parent, like, wonderfully.
It is. I'll mention a couple things on that in a second. Yeah, look, it was a hell of a day for Mike Bianco in a number of different ways.
It changes everything for him.
But
everything.
It also was a hell of a day for Keith Carter in that a couple different ways. Not only does he not have to make that decision he was going to have to make, right, but now it is a lifetime of not having to make that decision. The Ole Miss baseball program is just a winning national championship Ole Miss baseball program, yeah, moving on. That's it. And then two, you know, you're an AD judged upon results, mm-hmm, and results on the field and what you get built. They're in the middle of a capital campaign. He's having to navigate all this NIL, all these scholarship changes that are potentially coming to non-revenue sports. There's tons going on there. But his other legacy is Keith Carter's been the AD for a pretty short amount of time, and he has a Sugar Bowl and two national titles from team sports when Ole Miss hadn't had any since 1963, and frankly from a sanctioned sport ever prior to that.
He deserves so much credit for all that. I mean, Keith's awesome. We all like Keith.
Sure.
Keith's great, dude. I dig it. Keith's been great. I'll just leave it there. But he's also had some hell of luck, too, now. I mean, some things break his way, and you got to have that to be successful. I mean, he's talented, and he's captain the ship in the right direction and all that. But, like, this year, dude, they were 7 games under .500 in the SEC on May 1.
No doubt.
May 1.
They went 18-4 since they got on the bus in Fayetteville.
And you made a really good point. Like, he's got all this other stuff with what's coming in college sports to deal with, real stuff. NIL, I mean, that it's a mess.
He is shaping the university from that standpoint.
From that standpoint.
These years.
So one thing that needed to be down the bucket list, but was like, or not bucket list, but down the list, was like a constant nagging cockroach or fly, was could he fire Mike Bianco this year? And this year he was going to do it. It was done. You acknowledge that as well. I'm not on an island that.
No. Because he put off the basketball decision for a year.
For a year. There was a reason. Ole Miss is still paying money to Luke, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, to have that forever pulled from his to-do list, that's huge relief for him. Relief for everybody. No one wanted it. Like, Mike Bianco dominating everything. No one wanted that. No one wanted that. So for someone like me who's, taking the emotion, take the emotion out and just say what was really happening, Mike Bianco getting all those moments, unreal. And I think the greatest moment of the whole thing, we talked about this earlier, was when he went and chewed ass on that mound. Turned to Garrett Wood, and they just stared right him in the face, man. That's going to be the forever like lasting image for me. I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm cynical as crap.
I'll start there and then come back. Because I tell you, Mike
circle back.
Mike did a hell of a job in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. I thought there was two or three decisions that could have coin flipped negatively on him that I wouldn't have done. But for the most part, he handled the pitching almost pristinely the entire time. There was really not a bad pitching decision the entire tournament. But what you saw and what you're mentioning is, you want to take a quick aside?
I interrupt too much, and I've been told that, and I'm sorry. But
okay.
No bad pitching decisions? None.
Is there one sticking out that I'm forgetting? Okay, go ahead.
Well, he left in Hunter Elliott too long.
See, I didn't think so. Hunter Elliott did the job. He forced a bloop pop-up to a left-hander that just didn't get
caught. That's fair.
He got out of the inning. I mean, look, did he not strike everybody else out? Sure, but no, I thought Hunter Elliott made the pitches to get out of the inning. It just, that was baseball. I mean, I know
I'm not
going to
nitpick
phrase,
anymore. I will never nitpick Mike Bianco again.
So, point being, is it shows Mike's growth as a manager on what you're talking about, because the bunt was
back to back to back.
Yeah,
after
that and the pinch hitting on Wednesday night. Those are the two things I have the biggest
problem. Have you talked about that publicly?
Yeah, but let me get through this.
Sorry.
And we'll stop. So, I told somebody this. Maybe it was us. Maybe it was you. I don't remember. Earlier in the week, Mike picking those moments on when to do that, because we're noticing what he did to Garrett Wood and those guys in the huddle, and the way he commanded their respect, and they were on it. But I mean, that was like an young Mike chewing. That was a big one. And he hasn't done that a ton. He's done such a better job of marathoning this team and figuring out when to push what buttons. I mean, we're at pretty much every game. We see everything. We know what he's like after games. He did that twice all season. He did that after the 13-3 loss to SEMO when they deserved it, because they played like absolute terrible mess that day. And then right there, because, look, if Garrett Wood, I'm not going to blame him for not catching the ball because it was a rocket.
Come on,
But he kind of loafed a little to the ball, and that allowed Michael Turner to get into second. If he gets to that ball as quick as he could have, he's out at second or even doesn't try or whatever, and that's different. So that's what Mike was. He was out there from an effort standpoint, a focus standpoint. Hey, guys, lock in. And they locked in on him. They kept eye contact, and he was, I mean, he was hard. He was that was on them. And then he comes back on it, and he's back and forth. He's not just hard on them all the single time. And that's something that Mike's had to learn. I think he has gotten much better at that over the years. Mike Bianco's a better coach today than he was 10 years ago, all the way around.
Absolutely.
There's not a doubt about that. So for him to have done those things and improved to then bring them here, they got a lot of team leadership, and not just him. I know he gets all the accolades, but there's a list of guys here that did a lot from that standpoint. And, yeah, seeing Mike kind of get his moment yesterday, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you have to feel great for Mike Bianco. You got to feel great for Carl Lafferty, who's been with him since 2006, who's also dealing with, you know, because, look, I mean, had that gone that weirdly on that Monday, Mike was getting $2.52 million. Life and Clem weren't. I mean, they were guys who had to find jobs immediately. They had to get back on this thing. I mean, there is a
title. They're about to have to go out on the road for 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, I
watched 15-year-olds, you said?
Yeah, they're going to be in Atlanta for a month during July after being exhausted right now.
Congratulations, guys. Yeah. Here's a parade. Well, 15-year-olds.
So, all those emotional human things is you see that it's their life's work. It's what they do. It's what they... Not just the success, but the not having to worry about tomorrow, mm-hmm. about what am I doing next week? Where are we living? I mean, you know, Clem's worrying about, hey, where am I coaching? Do I try to get on these head coaching jobs? Carl's going, hey, am I having to go be an assistant wherever? I mean, all those things get put aside completely now to where if they make decisions outside of Ole Miss, it's because they're choosing to do so and moving their own career on their own pace. And that was cool. There's a lot of hard work going into it. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of emotional sweat equity that has happened. And to see all their moments, you got right after the dog pile, Clem's picking Mike up in the air and they're hugging. And then you got Mike and Laugh sharing an embrace out on the field right after that. In this business, we mean all the jokes and stuff is about teams. You really care about people because you're around them so much that you do legitimately start caring about people. And that's what I kept looking around. I saw Cammy and I said that those kids who, you know, look, we talked about it with Mike after he got choked up answering my question about Drew at LSU for senior day.
Answering my question.
The question, whatever, I don't care.
You won't understand.
The other
we
side.
That what you had to deal with that one time.
The other side of that, too, is those kids were without their dads a lot. Those kids didn't have their dad at the games, whatever. There's a sacrifice on both sides of that. It's not just Mike being upset. Ben Bianco didn't have Mike at his senior day at Louisville.
Oh, my God.
It's all those different elements. And for the kids to be there for that family moment, I thought that was really cool from that side of you got – and I would assume Catherine was there. I don't know where she was. I didn't see her. But, so, you know, there was multiple sons there. Like I said, Drew was there and Ole Miss stuff. It was cool just to see whatever family dynamics they had possible there. Well, a place that – look, Mike Bianco took this job in June of 2000 expecting to be in Omaha a lot, expecting to win College World Series like he did yesterday. You know, he had won three national titles and assistant at LSU. He had gone to Omaha as a player. It was just expected, and it's been a long, tough road. It's been a lot of heartbreak over the time, and for all that to come to full fruition yesterday for everybody involved, it was a pretty damn special moment.
I get it now. You know what I get? I get why the little old ladies love you. That was so well articulated.
Thank you.
Very beautifully summarized. You used your whole, like, impressive Chase voice, too. I'm just a clown all the time. A lot of people don't like that Jag rep, which is fine. You don't have to like me. But, man, that was moving. Well, it wasn't moving for Jeff. His mouth is wide open like a bass, and he's asleep. But that was really good. Like, really good. Are you going to write a book? Just say it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's not done. Nothing's ruled out. I'm not sure. I'm not ready to
Chase,
go there.
Chase, you want me to give you my stamp of approval as apparently your rival because, you know, when I was at my lowest moment as the bad luck guy, you didn't come to my aid like when I rolled my ankle stepping off the curb in Omaha.
Ben did completely fall down in front of 1,000 Ole Miss fans in the middle of the parking
lot.
That's
a little much. I saved it pretty good, though.
He just sat down.
I just sat right down.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
You're going down, sit down.
Yeah.
I can't land like a cat. What I can land is on my big ass.
Yeah.
Right? But I get it now. That was so well put. You're better than me at this.
What?
And I trained you.
You know him better than me. I'm just kind of curious. How long do you think Clem is here? What do you think his future is?
4 years. No. He'll be here. now, because he's had a lot of opportunities already.
Sure.
But he just didn't go.
Yeah.
Like, good opportunities.
Yeah.
Now you have a national championship on your resume.
Because he and Laff have both almost taken themselves out of being in some head coaching jobs.
Yeah. I mean, typically in the industry, it's different in baseball with everything. Recruiting is different. How coaches deal with each other is different. All kinds of – it's just different. We could get into a whole thing about that, but that would take way too long. Loyalty is crazy.
It's paramount.
It is crazy when a kid commits and all the other coaches just stop recruiting the kid. Same thing with assistant coaches. Like, Clem and Laff – I've been saying like a lot. I'm sorry. Clem and Laff have been loyal to Mike. Clem's been here 8 years, and he was the new guy. Carl, I mean, different, a little bit different with Carl because
he played for him.
Played for him. Yeah, he's been his guy.
And he's had an established family here. Clem's trying to build a family here. Yeah. That's a different thing.
He came here thinking, I'm going to build the resume, go find the next one, and get the head coaching job. And yet, these coaches are willingly sacrificing what in a typical industry is like cutthroat as hell to be with this man. So you can understand why they might be throwing some shade on Twitter today or something. Or they're, you know, Mike Clement said he's going to strike me out in BP, which he 100% will. I suggested that we put a lawn chair out there and let Mike sit there with a mimosa. And let me fall on my fat face.
Yeah.
Ginger face. That'd be great. So, like, he's dedicated to the man, that loyalty. And you said it's like, it's all it is in baseball. It's crazy. It's nothing like that in football. Football is, it's vicious. Basketball, it's vicious too, but from Ole Miss, it's a little different. Ole Miss basketball, it's not as vicious. But that to me, what a testament that is, but also it just tells you that they wouldn't do that for any old dude. So say what you want. If you've been the biggest critic of Mike Bianco ever, look at the loyalty, now the loyalty paying off. So do I think he'll be here 4 years? No, I'd take that off. Take that off the record. Now that he's got that, he's been loyal. They've done the thing. 2 years?
You think in some ways it frees it
frees
up
him.
Because
it
it's, hey, we accomplished the mission.
It frees Laff if he wanted to.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm sure you know Laff way better than me. He's probably told you the jobs he's turned down. Could you say definitively he's turned down better opportunities to stay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's it. Now they've done it. Mike is paid in full. He can coast now. Once you've got title hardware in baseball, in football, we were talking about that earlier too. Gene Chizik happens in football. And then they're fired 2 years later, 3 years later. Baseball, it doesn't happen like that. So Mike could miss the tournament next year, and if anyone bats an eye, well, whatever. They won a title last year. They won a title. The first title in a Big Three sport since the 60s. 62 to be exact.
I think that it's a little different given Mike's stage of his career, too, that he can ride it out as long as he wants to ride it. You know, like, look, how long does he want to do it? I don't know. I mean, I guess he could announce a type of retirement tomorrow, but I doubt
it. Promote the next former player. Henry Lartigue becomes the next Carl because Carl can move on now.
I mean, my point is that, you know, Mike told me, like I said, either 2 falls ago or 3 falls ago, he wanted to do 10 more years at that point. I don't remember if that was 19 right.
Now,
what it was.
Now that he's won a title, what do you think that is now?
It might shorten it or it might not, because he might be rejuvenated where this isn't hanging over his freaking head every year, because there's no doubt the losses have worked up to him. Because, you know, I thought that was an interesting – I don't know if you were listening or not. It was an interesting answer in the press conference when they said – you know, kept asking about emotions, and he couldn't give that because he said, it hasn't been a minute. I got to kind of focus and let this run out, and then I'll know really what this means to me.
I know I'm meeting your media, and it's stupid to criticize media because I'm a part of that community.
Yeah.
But how can you ask him that right there? He can't process
no,
that.
No.
He's still in coach mode.
They're blacked out at the moment.
Yeah, he's in coach mode, and all this has happened. There's no time to process it.
But what he did point out was that every other year he's coached, he's had to give the speech at the end about how they lost their last game,
and it's over.
And it's the first time he hasn't had to do that, where he said, look, I'm not going to plan a speech because I'm expecting to win the game. You're not going to go there in your head early or you'll be screwed. But he has had to always do that. And it's the first time where the end means something completely different. Because he was blocking out even – he didn't want to answer the question. He said, I don't want to think about I'm going to get here in the fall and Tim Oko and Justin Bench and Kevin Graham are going to be on the field. I'm not going to coach those guys again. Today's just a celebration. Let's just talk about – let's just stay there today for that. But the point being is that Mike is 22 years now into his head coaching career at Ole Miss. He also was at McNeese for 3 years. He's going to pass Skip Bertman next year for the second all-time winningest SEC coach. And that brings a whole different level now with the title as well. That title changes everything from a legacy standpoint. And then he's not stupid far from Ron Polk. Do I know that he's think he's catching him? No, I don't think so. But he's only 400 wins-ish shy Polk.
Do you mean to set Mississippi State fans aflame?
Yeah, sure.
You mean to make Steve mad?
Sure.
My Bianco's better than Ron Polk.
Well, I was getting there in a second. Is that what the title, what this does for Mike as far as elevating him in the sport? Because when you start going around, and I get it's just one, but this is my point. I got two different points, and I'm doing a really bad podcast right now.
No, you're
trying
not.
To do two things at
once. I was going
to
say, it's like you're serving me up softball so that you can beautifully articulate these wonderfully scripted monologues that are beautiful. I'm not knocking them. They're beautiful. You're so much better than me at this.
Here's the point, is that Mike Bianco is 22 years in, so he can ride it out as long as possible.
Right.
The title's there, and his teams are never going to suck for multiple years. Even if for some reason he has one bad year, there is the evidence that that's not going to happen 2 years in a row, so he's fine. Versus, and look, I think he's a hell of a coach. I would have hired him at Ole Miss if Mike had been fired a few years ago or left a few years ago. Chris Lemonis, he wins a title at State in year three, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, if he's really bad 3 or 4 more years, they actually do run him out because he doesn't have that consistency and that longevity to make that a different argument.
That's
so
really
that's where
point.
It does become football-based as far as you have to have the other period of time to show that. You know, that's the thing. But what you're mentioning, I mean, I've had one guy on my brain for 2 days now, Dave Van Horn. You can admit this. I just keep rattling off to you over and over and over again.
Because we feel so bad for him.
I do. Arkansas fans are the worst, but I feel really bad for Dave Van Horn. He's a guy who runs a preeminent program. They are great every year, and I've said this on my own podcast 1,000 times. I guess it says my own podcast.
What's my podcast? What's it called, Chase?
Talk of Champions.
Wow.
It's on everywhere you find podcasts.
We are shattering walls.
Yes, yes. Just as long as you don't make it the first listen of your day.
Ouch. See again.
Stop.
Okay.
Took a second, didn't
it? Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh crap.
So Van Horn
crap.
In 18, if Carson Shaddy doesn't get in the way or whatever and they catch that pop up and they win the national title, he's already probably a Hall of Famer, but he's talked about as a top 2-3 coach in the country every year and he's that guy and he's whatever. Well, Mike has become what Dave Van Horn would have been at that time now. Forget the extra Omaha things for Van Horn. I get he's been there more. They both won a ton of games. It's a different deal. It's a deal where Mike's elevated legacy is so big because of that. Mike Martin never won a title. Ron Polk never won a title.
Right.
Dan Van Horn, no title. You go down the list, it's hard to win a title. And it hasn't happened for so many people that this is a whole different structure for Mike, and it's a whole different structure for Ole Miss baseball. I mean, I said it during our post-game show. I'll say it again. Now that they have this championship, you look at a 5-year run of national seed in 18, Super Regional Game 3 in 19, maybe the best team in the country in 20 when COVID hit, 21 Super Regional Game 3, and now a national championship. They're a top-5 program in the country now.
It recontextualizes everything he's done up to this point. Because now – if he just gives you that from here on out, that's enough. That's enough. It's the established consistency, and that was also what was the most frustrating for Ole Miss fans. That was what was frustrating. They were always right there. We've talked about this so many times, how the one sport legitimately on campus every single year since Mike got here that could lay claim, outside of his first year, to lay claim to being the number one at the end of the year was baseball. So, yeah. It recontextualizes everything to where if it's just what he was doing beforehand, now that you've got that, you're good now. I think it's great. Great also. And please acknowledge this because you know it's funny too. Mississippi State had that one trump card that fan base did. They had it for a year. Just 1 year. And then Ole Miss wins. And they're all, and no matter what they say, it destroys them. Because who's their number 3 quarterback ever? Wayne Mackin? I don't know. They don't have much history in anything, but they got this one thing. They can talk shit about a church. And now they do not.
The signs of summer are here. Freshly mowed grass, days in the water at the ballpark, and all the rest on the golf course. Well, that's how we do it over here at Oxford and Ole Miss anyway. And PXG Golf Apparel is here to make sure you're locked and loaded for round after round at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has taken its mission to create the most high-quality, high-performance golf clubs in the game to their new line of apparel as well. With PXG apparel, there's something for everyone. From pants, polos, and sweaters to hats, joggers, and skirts. You'll usually find me with a hat on my head, and PXG has nailed the fitted breathable. And my navy goes with pretty much anything. So don't wait another second. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC, code TOC for Talk of Champions to save 10% on apparel. PXG, a proud sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast network. It's concert season, and concert season is all about the boots. Already, Oxford and Ole Miss have seen Morgan Wallen lighted up at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Ole Miss football star and Talk of Champions podcaster Jared Ivey bemoaned how his boots were lacking. He should have gone with Tecovas, the only stop for the Ole Miss fan and the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings for the spring and summer, including timeless, always on-trend styles in men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Stop by your local Tecovas store and have a complimentary drink or two on the house while you shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service, and many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
A year. Is it better that Ole Miss won it after them, or should they have won it before them?
I don't know if it's better or worse either way.
Yes, you do.
No, because if you win it before, the Ole Miss getting to it first would be something that would drive them crazy, considering their longevity of being good at the sport, and probably should have won it multiple times and have not done that over the years. I mean, they didn't win the title with Rafael Palmeiro, Will Clark, Jeff Brantley, and Bobby Thigpen all on the same team.
See, I'm much more ridiculously loud about my snarkiness and making fun of state. You're just silent daggers. You're a silent assassin. I got like 4 Chase daggers in my heart from this week, still like planted in my chest. How do you get away with it? No one ever calls you out for it.
But it being a year later, it doesn't cheapen anything. It doesn't cheapen states. It doesn't cheapen Ole Miss. It doesn't do anything like that. Now, it does elevate baseball in the state of Mississippi to a different level that I don't know that it got credit for being.
Neat.
But,
there's no state pride here. These two teams hate each other.
I don't even really mean that. I just mean, I think it elevates both of them collectively, which elevates them individually. Yeah, Mississippi becomes a destination spot in a way because of this, that maybe you
Where was,
was
it
not
like
the
in
case.
The pantheon of destination places before?
It's still the there.
Guy, I don't know.
Look, it's
Where was the place to go if you were coming out?
It's still about money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still about how much scholarship money do you have, or how much NIL money you have. I mean, look what LSU's done in the last week. They picked up Christian Little from Vanderbilt and Tommy Tanks from NC State. Well, they didn't do that with that NIL money. Yeah. There's something going on there. So the landscape is changing, but that's kind of what I'm saying. When you win a national title, you have a lot more NIL possibilities through your fan base because you'll be more willing to give than they were prior to you win that title. And if I was Keith Carter, I'd have been walking through the dang Hilton over the weekend talking about NIL all weekend.
All weekend. Because the thing is, they agreed to part ways at the end of the year, like what was going to happen. Keith would have gotten an initial surge of people coming with money because it's new.
Yeah.
But newness wears off. This is longevity. So now people will consistently give to the program that won the title. It's crazy how that works. You know, they always want change, but... You know, this makes baseball, it changes everything about Keith's decisions and everything he's gone through. Mike, for God's sake, Mike, the program trajectory, they're probably going to be able to get whatever they want done. They should build up Ole Miss Baseball Hall of Fame. Because now Ole Miss Baseball is the most consequential result on campus in modern history. It's a title. Trumps all other things.
And I will say this, we've talked about it, we've all gotten texts from people, we've seen it on the internet, almost kind of people criticizing the people that were, I'm using it in quotes, anti-Bianco. But most of those people just wanted to win. Now, they were emotional about it, and I don't know that all of them took the pragmatism and the logic that was needed for the argument. But at the end of the day, he won. Like, it's just about winning. There's hardly anybody goes, I have an individual human problem with Mike Bianco.
No one had that.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
I mean, there's, of course, not everybody
looks Our entire smart. Argument has been, should Ole Miss be better than they have been?
That's it. That's
right, wrong, indifferent, whatever you want to make of that.
It's not even taking a pro or anti-Mike stand. That's not what it's about. The results are what they were. A lot of it is just him getting held to his own increased and, you know, raised expectations. He did that, right? So you can't in one hand say Ole Miss fans show up and believe in Omaha and, you know, the Wolf Pack and all the stuff they say, and then expect people, when you fall short, after you've told them to build these expectations, to expect championships, to then go, the revenge tour. It's like tongue-in-cheek on Twitter. I've been putting the revenge tour is over.
The revenge tour, actually, though, is important. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's actually the topic I was going to now. Is that...
The title of your book? Revenge Tour?
No. But what is fascinating is
that... You just admitted that you're going to do a book, though.
No, I have no...
You confirmed it. I heard it. All right. They all heard it, too. That's a verbal contract, my friend.
There's nothing definitive there.
Oh. Disagree by the letter of the law, sir. I believe I could take you to court on that.
So, point being...
This is the United States. We're
the way Ole Miss did this, had Ole Miss had that blazing year where it just worked out and they, like, basically a Tennessee type regular season, maybe not to that level, but really good where they're a top five national seed, their 2018 resume, and they just went and won the title.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Yeah, great. Y'all had a hell of a year and y'all put it together and look at the team you established and whatnot. That would have been great in its own way. I think this is better for the program. This is better for Mike because what he because what he was able to do with this is they don't have any level of scar tissue anymore. Mike coming into this season had never won a road regional. Okay, check it off the box. A team had never gotten hot that had kind of played like crap and then went on that run like State's done so much, like Arkansas's done a little bit, like LSU does seemingly every freaking year.
And building that narrative.
You're removing everything. Yeah. You get past Arkansas, which has basically become the freaking evil empire for Ole Miss baseball over the years. You get past, you know, a Miami team that was a very difficult region situation for Ole Miss in the past.
And you know, Arizona beat you yesterday. Down the third base line of the regional at home, but against Miami.
Yeah, I mean.
Bend and little chase, hoping for the best.
You've got all that going on. You had other SEC West teams in your bracket, and you got through the bracket. You got popped by Arkansas and came back another day and essentially won another game three. You know what I mean? You did all these different things. Yeah. Because to win the College World Series, you have to win a regional, a super regional, another regional, and another super regional. That's how the bracket's set up when you think about it. And they fight off two really good pitchers from Oklahoma. Cade Horton is a freaking beast. Jake Bennett's really, really good.
And you said he was committed to Ole Miss?
He was committed to Ole Miss. Yeah, how would a Horton, DeLucia, Elliott rotation been this season? So, my point being is that when you get into next season, there's not even the, hey, well, they really front ran.
We're in Springfield now.
Yes, I probably should check them out.
No, I got it. Okay. Here, we're good. Keep doing your beautifully... Okay.
My point being that they have... It's all good.
The mic fell.
It's all good.
Is that my fault or yours?
No. Well, you hit the brakes kind of hard.
Well,
that's fine.
What was I supposed to do?
So, he's resolved everything that people have been critical about with him for a long time, if that makes sense. Like, it's not a deal where they just won. They won by checking off every negative that was left in this program. Every one of them.
In one postseason.
Yeah, he's had great regular seasons. Mike Bianco is a regular season coach is never the problem. Ever.
He's always been the best at process.
You can make fun of it because I make fun of it, but the system works.
It works. It was elite. Everything about the bones, the foundation, was elite. He just didn't have the result, the one result. And again, it's raised expectations that he created those expectations. But now he's done it. He's done it, and yeah, changes everything. I just can't believe it was this team that did it, though, man. Like, how did this team do it? How? And I'm not trying to be rude. I think Tim's a great guy. Like Timmy. Good friend of the Talk of Champions podcast, sir.
Sure.
I think Justin Bench is a great guy. But how did they do it over 2009? You're the Ole Miss baseball guy. What's the best team in Ole Miss baseball history from talent perspective? Not from results, but from talent.
2005 or 2009.
All right.
Where would this one rank to you amongst all of Bianco's teams as far as talented teams and maybe best of all time? Just talent. They're the best because they won.
It's potentially recency bias because of it just happened and you're in it. I feel like you appreciate them more, you know what I mean, as time goes on.
Yeah.
But I had this conversation with my brother last night, and
I saw Dylan. Did he tell you?
No.
Did he tell you? I saw him right beside Charles Schwab, and I kind of I don't think he liked it. I kind of half-tackled him.
Okay.
I hadn't seen him in a while. I hadn't seen all y'all in a while. It's been 2 years. How long for you? How long has it been since I've seen you?
It's been a minute.
Golly.
Yeah, it's been
I'm a
minute.
Terrible friend.
He thought, and I think I agree with this, he thought this Ole Miss team from a straight talent standpoint,
right,
up and down the board,
just talent,
was worse than 04,
yes,
05,
yeah,
09,
yes,
18, 19, and 21.
Who lost to Tennessee Tech?
18.
That was my favorite team. I thought that team was...
essentially the 21 team, except you add DeLucia and Elliott, and you lose Nikhazy and Hoagland.
And no matter what anybody says, I know what he did, and it's legendary. It is criminal. Criminal! That they had Doug and Gunner for 3 years.
Really, only two, because 20 can't be held against
But
them.
That's part of it. You lost that year of them because they're going pro. They were going pro after 3 years. And I thought that's when it dawned to me that maybe Mike is jinxed. Those are two generational guys. And he got a once-in-a-generation pandemic to lose part of their eligibility. And then Gunner blows
really
out.
Really, their best year. Because for those kind of guys, the sophomore year, when
sophomore
you don't have all the
year.
Draft stuff on you, is your best year a lot of times.
Because Gunner had figured it out. He was so dominant in the preseason. His freshman year, you know, his fastball was very fast but very straight.
Yeah.
And the slider couldn't break it in for strikes.
Yeah.
So he was coming and becoming Gunner Hoagland, the first overall pick, 17 overall to the Blue Jays. Now traded to the A's, which is dope. So, yeah, I mean, it was criminal. And that's when I thought, Mike's cursed. If he can't get it with those two, they pitch you alone to Omaha. Alone. I thought that's when it was. And you had to acknowledge reality. If he can't do that, if he can't get a break with that, because you do have to have a break in baseball. Some of it is directly Mike's fault that they were 2-9 or 2-9
sure.
in Omaha advancement opportunities. But I could also argue just as many, if not more, or just some really crappy luck. Evan Button game, and God bless Evan Button, don't know where he is, but I don't mean to be derogatory, but 5 outs to Omaha.
Yeah, sure.
That's bad luck. That Mike Bianco had nothing to do with that. Nothing. He didn't bunt before back-to-back-to-back home runs.
His only poor managerial decision in that entire thing in 09 was I would have gone out and talked to Goforth after the error because you had a freshman rattled. But again, that's not an in-game decision.
Yeah, that's
per
not
se.
An in-game.
That's nitpicking.
Yeah, that's nitpicking.
Take a break in the podcast to give a special thanks to the Clearwater Group, the primary sponsor of all your College World Series coverage here at rebelgrove.com. The Clearwater Group's been a friend of the podcast, of the website, for a good bit of time, for years now. I really appreciate their support to get us to Omaha and cover Ole Miss in the College World Series. The Clearwater Group's a Mississippi-based public affairs firm focused on lobbying, communications, grassroots advocacy issues. They represent a wide range of national and state businesses and associations who are involved in healthcare, gaming, engineering, education, telecommunications, finance, and a number of other industries. They have a proven track record of guiding successful client issues involving the legislature, state agencies, and local government entities. So if your business has any issues or projects being considered by state officials, partner with the Clearwater Group, clearwatergroupm.ms, to find out more from them. Really a special thanks for them. Podcast also brought to you by Johnson Hill Creamery. That's Johnson Hill Creamery just off Molly Bar in Oxford on White Oak Lane. And they've got a cheese class coming up. That's July 14th, 6 to 7:30. It's located there at their shop. It's limited to 12 people per class. So take advantage of it. Go ahead. Sign up now. It includes a flour cheese press demo, a soppressata folding demo, 3 ways to style cheese, decorating with fruit and flowers, charcuterie board, building workshop, snacks, refreshments, even a dessert. And you take your creation home when you are ready for that. So space is limited. Go ahead, give them a call. That's 662-419-9201 or cheese at johnstonhillcreamery.com. Podcast also brought to you by Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. Use code MPW for $20 off your first order with Prime Shrimp. They have 5 great flavors. The signature blend is my favorite. They also have the Louisiana Shrimp Bowl, a little spicier option. That's great in their current, their two new latest ones. They've got the garlic herb butter. You put it over pasta, veggies, rice, a great creation there for you. Also, Simply Shrimp, it's great for kids. If you have a little more of a discerning palate, you can season it yourself. It's just the shrimp. Again, restaurant quality shrimp in under 10 minutes, shipped straight to your door. Use code MPW for $20 off your first order. Again, that's primeshrimp.com. Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. They got all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. And then the podcast is also brought to you by Northeast Spark. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford studio. I've got it at his home as well. So take advantage of Spark, your hometown team, bringing you world-class broadband. That's nespark.com, 662-238-31.
I just can't believe this is the one that did it. And we've been talking about that for a little while now. Because I thought, just like this was the one, when Andy Kennedy's last year, Ole Miss came into that year, they were hyping up their roster. They'd gone to the portal, Dominic Olenicek, Terrence Davis, he was an NBA player. He was right.
Yeah.
Later found out he was gone. Brienne, a bunch of good players. They hyped it up in the preseason because that was the year they knew going in there was a lot of pressure on them to succeed. And you can't convince me, yes, it was huge to get Tim Elko, Kevin Graham, and Justin Mitch back. What would the lineup have been without them? Horrible. The natural regression hit T.J. McCants pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Hayden Dunhurst hit with the wall a little bit. Regression monster is mean, unforgiving. So they hyped this team up because they still had holes. Like the rotation, we didn't know what the rotation was going to be. Drew McDaniel was the Sunday starter on opening week, and Derek Diamond was the Friday night guy. Derek Diamond didn't pitch this week.
McDaniel didn't either.
Two of the three top 100 prospects from that class. The surefire slam dunk guys. Oh, yeah, we can count on them. And that's what makes it remarkable to me that this is the team that did it, because Andy Kennedy got sunk by the team he had a super hype that really wasn't that good, but he had a super hype because he was in trouble. Now, Mike Bianco isn't a promoter, but Ole Miss baseball and Ole Miss community with baseball are pretty good at it. And they hyped this team up, and we both agreed they had a lot of holes. And for the first 3 months, they played like that team. And that's the one that won it. Not the one with Scott Biddle throw whatever that pitch was that was nasty. Not that one. Not Drew Pomeranz, my favorite player. I don't care. Call me a fanboy. You love Drew Pomeranz. Drew Pomeranz stuffing it against what? He didn't get to go?
The year they had Lance and Drew together, they were a 3 seed in the regional.
That is atrocious. I did not remember that at all. That is atrocious.
They just won the national title as a 3 seed.
Yeah, they did. But that has got to be the best 3 seed, right? Drew and Lance? That was a better 3 seed than this one. Come on, that's a good one. That's a good question. Was that a better 3 seed that should have won it? Baseball's funny.
That was a mentally fragile team that was number one in the country or number two in the country early in the year and fell apart. He hired Brian Kane right after that because that was just a mental wreck of a team. They had to win 2 games in Hoover to make the NCAA tournament. They get sent to number one overall seed Miami. It was a mess.
But what was Miami in the overall seeds this time around?
6.
Parallels.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Six for Miami this year.
So it was the mental resolve of this team. How do you find mental resolve when you're 7 games under 500 on Maine? We just don't change.
Seriously.
The process of Bianco's process. It worked.
And we mentioned this yesterday. I might even mention it in my video last night. They liked each other. Something that we thought was a flaw early in the year because they didn't have the jerk. We always talked about, hey, they kind of need an asshole to get them going.
Who was the asshole?
They didn't. They actually liked each other.
They picked it up.
Like, yeah. Every time they started to have a "we are Ole Miss" moment, if you want to use that in a negative connotation,
which is somebody the only went connotation to use, you can't co-opt that to make it positive.
No, T.J. McCants was hitting 190 against left-handers, and then he gets the big hit against the two-run homer against the left-hander. You've got all these things where one dude just showed up, and it was somebody different every time. Calvin Harris got hot as hell in the postseason. By the way, buy all his stock for next year. He's going to have a hell of a year.
He's going to be the best player.
Yeah, he's going to have a hell of a year next year.
You think he'd be a top-two round guy?
You got to see him on the plate first.
Yeah, defensively,
I don't know. I mean, he's not bad. I mean, he's almost looked at as this like negative thing. He was like a top five catcher his entire
high
school career.
That's weird. I don't understand that.
He can catch.
What is his deficiency then? He receives well. He just can't throw it. But who cares? It's been de-emphasized now.
Yeah, I don't know that he has a clear deficiency at all. I really don't.
So if he frames well, then he'll be, and he hits like he hits, he'll be a pro.
Yeah, and Ole Miss is very good at developing catchers. That is their...
Are you shocked, though, that that's the position? They all were catchers. Mike, Carl, all were catchers.
Yeah.
Not one of those guys. Not Stuart Turner. Not, well, Nick Fortes. Never mind.
No.
Is he the best catcher now in Ole Miss history? As far as talent? He's the one that made it to the pros. Because I was going to say, they never produced a badass catcher in the pros. Nick Fortes is hitting you at a walk-off field. Now, you see that?
He did.
He needs to change his number, though. The 50s look terrible. It's like 54.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, you can wear that as a pitcher. He needs to wear, like, what do you wear at Ole Miss? I can't remember. You remember? Yes, you do.
17, maybe? I could be wrong. 7? 17? Maybe a 7. Okay.
Seven.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in you. That old Chase would have known.
Numbers
that
are not a thing for me, you actually.
Not even little Chase?
No.
I used to memorize the Ole Miss football media guide. Like, Kamone Fisher was weirdly one of my favorite players ever. I have no idea why I'm telling you this. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, is he the best catcher? I mean, Nick is a great athlete and a great hitter who happens to play certain positions on the field.
So he would not be the first one you took in your catcher draft?
Not to actually play catcher, no.
How many of the players on this championship title team would you pick as the best at their position in Ole Miss history? Name me two. One, I think you can figure out, but two.
Who's for sure?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Maybe
from a straight number standpoint, do you make a case for Gonzalez? Straight numbers.
A shortstop. Short, that's a... Come on now.
I know.
You going to put him over Cozart?
I don't.
Okay.
But his numbers are, given the time period of when he is playing, are better.
So he could eventually surpass these people. But just right now, in this frozen in time moment, they've won a title.
And his defense isn't close.
Not close.
Yeah.
And we have to measure defense.
Because I think Gonzo's a third baseman at the next level.
He is. And they think that too. They just said, we're not going to move him off shortstop in college.
Yeah.
They all will tell you that.
Yeah.
Mike will tell you that. He'll just tell you off the record and he'll deny it publicly. But that's what he would do. He would put him at third if he was coaching in the minors. Because he didn't have the body for it. And that misplay he had just was, I think it was obvious. You know, the drops.
Yeah,
he took a terrible route. And he's slow. He's big and lanky. He came through, by the way, after being terrible. And then Mike said he wasn't. He was. It's okay to say.
He looked so uncomfortable until yesterday. He was just locked completely in. He was great yesterday.
That's what studs do. That's what studs do. Yeah, you've had me down. Marshall Henderson had the right personality for playing competitive sports. Yeah, I might miss 15 shots, but the next 10 are going in. Jacob Gonzalez has no personality whatsoever publicly, but as a baseball player, he is cocky as hell. He's just like, oh, it'll turn around. It'll come. And guess
he ran one out of the yard on Cade Horton.
Destroyed
it. He got three hits.
Oh, that's dope.
And then the play, we're kind of just rambling toward the end here now, but the...
How long have we been going?
50 minutes.
Wow.
I'm just shepherding you through the podcast.
It also shepherded me home.
Yeah.
Because I'm driving and tired.
So
I couldn't go to sleep last night. You know why?
Yeah.
Because I was so caught. My dad brain is so broken. I couldn't figure out how I was going to put all the luggage.
You were worried about that.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep. Isn't that ridiculous? When did I become an old man? I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my stuff out. I'm going to put it in Emily's suitcase. I'm going to sacrifice my own luggage so that we can get you home.
So, you did think about that. So,
all night.
And again, I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to get your thoughts on this.
Do you really, though?
Yeah, no, I do. Mike said that was not a hit and run. It was a straight steal with McCants, and Bench recognized it and punched that ball through the four hole.
Then that is the
That is the best play of the season, if that is the case.
Outside of what I asked you yesterday, do you think Hayden Dunhurst threw into the runner on purpose? David Johnson asked me this question.
I mean, I want to ask him now, but I have no idea.
I do too. I feel like an idiot for not asking him. That's brilliant.
My gut is no, but I want it to be the case.
Yeah.
But
because if he I gotta say more right. Because if he did do it on purpose, that is a baller move to make. But you don't think so. So the best play was then that, what you said.
Because the recognition there against those type of arms.
Let it fall again. You got it?
I got it.
Good job.
The recognition there against those kind of arms.
See, that's why everybody loves you. You evolve at a rapid rate.
Podcast has to pause for 3 seconds while we're going around a big loop.
Does it really?
Well, no, but I couldn't talk. I was hanging on.
Are you scared?
No, I just was
falling. It was pretty sharp. It was pretty sharp.
Well, my phone was falling, and you know I protect it with, like, my life. I'll jump in front of
you.
Do
you tell them what your battery life stuff is?
No.
It's insane. My phone encourages me, like, Ben, good job, man. You're down 28% from last week. You're jacked up every single week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he's challenging himself.
Mine's like basically smoking out of the top of it at the end of the day.
He's in 10 plus hours of on phone. Like all of, there's not a single hour that goes by that you don't look at your phone for at least a quarter of it. It's crazy.
My brother's calling me. I can't talk to him right now. Anyway, what?
So we're in Branson, Missouri. We're headed back.
When's the last time you went to Branson? I went with my family when I was like a kid.
I've never been to Branson.
That would be something hilarious to do. We could do a simulcast. We go see Wayne Newton. Does he still go there? No, Wayne Newton's in Vegas.
He's in Vegas.
Who's in Branson? He used to be in
Branson. I have no idea. No, can't help you.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, never been to Branson.
I had an old, my fourth grade picture, seeing how much of a winner I was. My fourth grade picture, I'm wearing a huge Branson shirt with boots facing each other.
Oh.
I was crushing the game, Chase.
Yes.
You also said you had more game than me. You did.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're still hold on to that. Saying no doubt. Okay, I love the confidence. We're both happily married men.
Many of you guys will be back at it's Swayze by 2 o'clock today. Parade 5:15 on Wednesday. Celebration after that at 6. Gonna try to get home today.
Can I plug something?
Yeah, sure.
One thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
You don't have to like me, but if you'd like to, please just tune in the podcast every once in a while, because I like my show. It's kind of fun.
You gotta tell them to rate, review, and subscribe.
No, because you've convinced me that it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Are you positive it doesn't matter?
I'm 100% positive.
Then I will never say it again.
Okay.
Because Chase dictates everything. I see the truck, okay. Chase. God, you're like Emily. I love you, honey. You're like Emily. She does the same thing. She does the hand. You don't say anything. It's more condescending when you do the hand, right? Because you weren't the one that tapped me on the head, right?
No.
No, that was Jeff.
Yeah.
You tell him what you did? Tell him what you did, Chase.
When?
Let Rebel Grove decide if this was okay. When? Like, you don't know exactly. You just don't want to say it. You don't want to say
it. You do know I use my hand, right? You couldn't tell because it was the top of your head.
It really was your hand?
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Ben thought that I kissed the top of his head, but I didn't. I kissed my hand that was on the top of his head, being pretty condescending at the moment, actually, because of whatever we were talking about.
That changes my entire perspective.
Yeah, no.
I shared a special moment.
No, it was my hand.
I didn't really think that it's a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know a lot of people don't like me. That's cool, man. Like what you like. But if you want to, there's another Ole Miss podcast that, I mean, we used to do podcasting together.
Sure.
And one day, we could just do everything together if you wanted to. All of us be friends. Why not? Well, not all of us. There's some, I don't know. Book's still out. But you've got an open invitation, Chaser, to come right in, walk in and talk of champions. I don't know. Blow up an air mattress. Lay on down. Because that's essentially what we did. We were bored, and you said, let's record. And I said, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. I'm nervous. And then you could hit record anyway. Because you dictate everything.
So we started talking, Ben Garrett, Talk of Champions, the Ole Miss Spirit.
Sorry,
Normal show on Tuesday morning for us, and then we'll let you know the rest of the week. I got a couple people I want to talk to, some guests, some different things. So we will get that to you, and then content everywhere that you would you find that.
Had you not been stuck in a car with me for 11 hours, is there any chance any of your coverage would have involved you and I talking for an hour about Ole Miss?
Well, I would have done a regular show today, so probably I wouldn't have done the same show twice. That's very doubtful.
No, what I'm saying is, you never would have invited me.
Well, I did that.
I'm shocked. I invited you onto the crossover a year ago.
Yeah.
And you didn't even, I mean, you didn't even say you did it.
So it's full circle.
It's like you're hiding from your past.
We'll be back with you again. Oxford Exxon podcast on at Tuesday morning. Hope all of you have a wonderful day. Bask, enjoy. Ole Miss is your 2022 College World Series.
If we did
national
a bet,
champion.
If we did a bet, I would have said, hey, if Ole Miss wins a national championship, you have to publicly say hottie toddy. That would have been the bet I would have made. So can you just say it? Say it.
We would have bet something. You didn't make it. That is Ben's fault. It's his problem.
Oh,
we'll be back with you on Tuesday. Have a good day. Take care.